Welcome back to another week of free basketball. If you noticed, we did not put out an episode last week, and that's because I was sick. But Cody and Daniel did actually record, but the audio was so terrible from Daniel that we could not actually use it. So that's why we were gone last week, just audio issues. But we are back this week, minus two co-hosts, adding a guest, a gentleman you have heard on the podcast before, maybe before we joined the Leeds Podcast Network. But he is one Pelican super fan, maybe the only one I know. That's one Michael Sumner, a.k.a. Mikey Shooms. How are you, sir?
Mikey Shooms. Got my own theme song, Mikey Shooms.
He's the only guest that we've ever had who has his own theme song. It sticks, and everyone knows who it is immediately.
That's right.
but this special week for us, because this is holiday week. This is Christmas Day. And I don't know if Christmas Day games is as big a deal for you, Mike, as it is me. But this, to me, kind of sets off that this is kind of the beginning of, like, everyone's paying attention to basketball a little bit more. Because, you know, diehards like us, we're watching it from the first game. We're watching preseason, all that crap. But it seems like casual fan with NFL kind of closing out, getting to the playoffs, bowl season, college football is kind of ramping up. People use Christmas Day to kind of be like, well, I'll check in on the NBA, see where everything's going on, at least the casual fan. So it's a big deal to me because I think it's a good momentum builder to have a good Christmas Day, which we might talk about here in a second why it might not be a good yeah. Christmas Day. But is this a big, is Christmas Day a big deal for you?
It's definitely, I mean, I enjoy the kind of excitement that builds around it and the fact that it is like the first premier day of the season. You know, for me personally, I'm watching every Pelicans game from day one. And if I wasn't married, I'd probably be watching almost every nationally aired game, you know. I've justified the Pelicans games by only watching those. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting. You know, it's good that we're starting to reach that time where, you know, people whose NFL teams maybe are fading out are like, all right, let me switch over to NBA mode. And so
unless you're a Lions bigger fan. Part. You're the Lions, you're like, wait, do I watch the Pistons now? Like, what do I do?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the Lions at this point have like almost as many wins as the Pistons. Shout out to the Lions for killing the Cardinals today, like everyone imagined.
Yeah, I definitely had that bet. No.
Yeah, no, I'm excited, man. It's good to have everybody maybe a little bit more invested because I feel like, especially in Louisiana, I don't know how y'all feel in Tennessee, but Louisiana is such a football state that, like, it takes a little bit of time for everybody to get really invested in basketball, especially when, you know, all the things that the Pelicans have been going through. It's nice whenever everybody starts caring a little bit more, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Memphis wants to be a football town, but it's really its roots are about basketball. So especially around here, high school basketball is going full force. Like, it's hard for me to keep up with. I mean, you should see my DVR of games. Like, I have games that I need to go back and watch from a month ago because high school basketball is going so strong. I just don't have time to do it between that, the family, the kids, you know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
But what we're going to do today is, since we're kicking off holiday week for the Leeds Podcast Network, we're going to do our own NBA Christmas wish list. So this doesn't have a lot of rules to it. We're going to do three things really, but Mike can have three things. That's all for the Pelicans, what he wants for them, what he hopes they can get. Or this can be talking about any general team, player, coach, whatever it is involved with the NBA. This is our Christmas wish list. So even though Danny is out, I guess I should have said that at the beginning, Danny and Cody are both out. Cody was busy with work and Daniel is sick now. So I passed it on to him somehow from last week, but this will be fun, I think. So Daniel sent me his actual list because he did prepare this before he got sick. So I might read a couple of his because I thought they'd be interesting to talk about. So hopefully this won't be too lengthy of an episode, but be a good kickoff to the Christmas week for everybody. So happy holidays to everyone early. Let's start off with one of Danny's because I do want to get the conversation starting a little bit. Maybe this will be too hot takey right at the beginning. But one of Danny's wishes was that the Los Angeles Lakers don't make the playoffs this year. Now, is that just a personal vendetta, or is it just truly he just wants to see LeBron fail? Because he's a noted LeBron hater. would you like it if the Lakers did not make the playoffs? Or do you think it's more interesting if they're in?
For starters, because of all of the draft capital that the Pelicans have of the Lakers over the next literal half decade because of the Anthony Davis trade, yeah, I always want them to suck. Like, the more they suck, the better what comes back to New Orleans is. Anthony Davis was a punk the way he went out from New Orleans. I mean, it just flat out was. Like, I understand that anybody who listens to this will think I'm just biased or whatever, but the stuff that he did, the stuff that he pulled, the fact that the last day that he was on the team, he wore a That's All Folk shirt, like,
yes,
super childish, super, I mean, just everything about it. And the Pelicans have caught a lot of grief lately. I don't know if you've seen as much of the Twitter beef as I have because I'm so, you know, Pelicans focused. But there was a writer for the Washington Post who tweeted that the NBA needed to step into the New Orleans scene because of, oh, all the injuries that they've had lately with Eric Gordon and Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis. Something clearly is up. And it was like just the audacity of the statement. Anthony Davis is still fragile as hell in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia 76ers got fined millions of dollars because of how Drew Holiday came to us. And I just realized I've already immediately turned this into a Pelicans thing. But
you said you weren't biased, but.
Well, I mean, it's just as someone who sits here and hears it just time after time, you know, and I'm sure Memphis fans will start to feel it a little bit if things go bad for the next year or two and, you know, they're not doing well. You'll catch the same crap that the Pelicans fans have caught, you know, over Ja Morant. And it's just, it's super annoying. So, yeah, the Lakers, anytime they do bad, makes my soul happy, Ryan. Just makes me feel good.
You know, as for some reason, Memphis, like, they believe that we like to create rivalries. So we have this rivalry with the Pelicans, but there was no rivalry.
Don't you need to win some to make it matter?
Like, you got to actually win. Like, it has to be competitive. It makes no sense, you know, but was Anthony Davis always like this back in New Orleans? Cause kind of remember him being injured, but I don't remember him being like a guy who was always on the floor, always having something nagging. Like, he's always on the ground, and every time it goes down, you're like, ah, that's in the ACL.
I think that's
a third degree ankle sprain.
it's definitely caught a little bit more attention because he's playing for a big team now. But I mean, he missed a ton of time. He was always, and it was the thing about Anthony Davis was that it was never like a major injury, right? It was never like a torn ACL or a high ankle sprain. It was just always like, oh, he like, I don't know, separated his finger. Like, it was just weird, random stuff. And he missed, I have to go back and look at it, but I can remember being on Twitter and just seeing like tweets about exactly how much time he had missed. So yeah, he's always been like this, where it's never big injuries, but he just consistently misses, like, oh, he's out for another 3 or 4 week stretch. It was one of the reasons the Pelicans were never better. So we were missing our best player for a month at a time, all the time.
Yeah. And then they had that one with Drew and Rondo, and where AD was actually healthy, you know, and they, was it 4-1 or was it a 4-0 sweep of the Blazers?
Oh, they swept the Blazers. Yeah.
They swept them, and they just had that one play. I was like, look, here he is, you know, and it kind of seemed like that kind of run is what sold the Lakers to make that move. And LeBron's like, ah, I got to play with this guy. And I mean, it did work. They won a championship, but are you the kind of guy that has a potential asterisk by it for being in the bubble after what we saw from the year before, you know, just completely failing? And then right now they're just not what we thought they'd be.
It's definitely different. I don't know. On one hand, I think it was harder because of all the crazy circumstances that went into it, but you got to acknowledge that like everybody had those crazy circumstances. Yeah. And I think maybe the lack of the fans, the lack of the outside pressure, like literally being in a bubble, maybe made it a little bit easier for guys who are normally under more scrutiny to like breathe a little bit because they didn't have as much as that outside pressure kind of coming in on them.
Yeah. I think we see that with shooting percentages, right? Because no fans last year, anything. I mean, the Clippers last year shooting 41% for the year from three, and now they're at like 36%. So it's like, is some of that Kawhi Leonard, or is it just because there's fans in the stands and now everyone's kind of regressed back to a normal, or is it the rule change, you know, with people feeling emboldened or empowered to play tougher D on the perimeter. I don't know. I'll be interested to see how that shakes out. But the Lakers thing is weird because we've had this argument before, and Cody's basically said it's just roster construction, basically, and health, going out and getting Russell Westbrook. So I don't know how I feel about them not making the playoffs. I think it would be a meltdown because if they don't make the playoffs, the guy who's going to get fired that shouldn't is going to be the head coach.
Yeah.
When it's really the front office and LeBron together, who obviously LeBron signed off on all of these things. I don't think he's actually, you know, GM Rob Pelinka is making moves without LeBron's approval.
For sure.
Mike Vogel's going to get the blame. Frank Vogel's going to get the blame. And when it's really, you know, on LeBron.
It's wild that they made that trade because literally, I mean, any NBA person would have told you that the trade doesn't make sense because you already don't have floor spacers. And, you know, the big thing about that trade was they had Buddy Hield lined up, and Buddy Hield makes 100 times more sense than Russell Westbrook. And I love Westbrook. He just has to be in the right situation. And having two other superstars who don't shoot jumpers that well around is the exact wrong situation. Right. And it's just like, how does an NBA GM not know that when every fan on the street knows that? Like, that was just a terrible choice to begin with. I like a lot of what Westbrook does. And whenever, you know, AD or LeBron does miss time, having Westbrook's motor is great. But if your team is at full strength, it's almost actually worse for your team because of the way that Westbrook plays.
Yeah, I've already spent too long talking about the Lakers. I think they are the most fun topic because everyone wants to kind of pour on to them. They want to see the dead body, you know, like, hey, come see, this guy was, you know, my enemy or whatever. But it's just, it doesn't look great. And there's some part of me that wants to hold on and believe that they'll do okay. But it's getting to that point with Christmas where, like, if you're kind of starting to round into form what you're going to be for the rest of the year, the only thing about it is the COVID situation. How much is that really hiding to us the true nature of a lot of these teams, since we see, you know, 50 plus players, whatever it is now, in health and safety protocols, yeah, and teams just decimated having 8 players. So that's enough about Lakers. We spent a lot of time on Danny's one point. He'll be happy about that if he listens to this. But I'll give my first one to keep it moving along. My first wish for this holiday season is for Jaylen Brown to get his own team. And this is purely a selfish thing because I'll ask you a second how you feel about Brown and Tatum as a pair for the future. But I think Brown is a leader that everyone else in that Celtics team, especially Tatum, I don't think they want to be led. And Marcus Smart is a guy that's tries to be a leader, but I don't think anybody listens to Marcus Smart anyways. I would be interested to see Jaylen Brown put on a team, say, like, I know this is going to sound bad to put him on this team, but I would like to see him on the Orlando Magic with that young core, with Franz Wagner, Jalen Suggs, you know, all those young guys, RJ Hampton around him, Wendell Carter Jr., and see what kind of effect he would have. Would he be a guy that you bring in that would raise the level of that team? Or would he just be turning into a good stats, you know, bad team kind of guy? That's what I'm interested in because I don't think the pairing works long-term. And I know saying that may seem false because, you know, it's just a few years removed from them making the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie. But the more and more they do this, you know, we see this in the NBA all the time with runs. You know, teams usually, unless they're just an outlier, is 3 to 4 years and then it's kind of run its course and you got to do something different. Or you're just always kind of 50-50 and then you flame out in the playoffs. Or you get lucky a year, make second round, but you flame out, a la the Utah Jazz. Which might be on my wish list here in a second. But what is your thoughts about that pairing? Do you think it survives, or would you be interested in seeing Jaylen on a different team?
Yeah, so I don't know how he'll do on a different team, but what I would say is kind of what you said, it's run its course, right? Like,
yeah,
they made it pretty far as young guys when that conference was at its lowest. And that conference is on the rise this year, right? The Bulls are on the rise. The Hornets are on the rise. Even teams like the Wizards are kind of unexpectedly, you know, doing really well. And so, easier for them to make the conference finals whenever, you know, the bottom half of the East playoff seeds were garbage, right?
Yeah.
And so I definitely think that, you know, they've done what they can do. They've run their course. It's not working. It's not going to work long term. I definitely think that, just as the Celtics perspective, they need to flip someone while they can, while the value is still really high, because, you know, the Celtics aren't doing great. And if they flame out this year, I think it's going to devalue some of that asset. And it's like, yeah, let's see what we can get while we can, because there's some teams in the East that they're not going to touch this year. Mm-hmm. And I think they may as well go ahead and see what they can do while they can.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm 100% in your camp, obviously, because I just do not see where this all of a sudden becomes something great, you know, where it works out and shows anything different than what it has for the past 2 years. So we'll get to your first wish. What's your first Christmas wish for this NBA?
You go ahead and tell me if I need to rephrase this and I'll come back at it. I want everyone to stop being dicks. Especially where it comes to Zion Williamson. Mm. And I say that as someone who has like been very frustrated. I think Zion is either very immature or he's letting people run his camp badly. Right. Yeah. Because so everyone in the NBA knows, like, you know, Zion isn't playing, Zion's not healthy. The thing is, like, a Pelicans fan who digests this information every day, is it's weird the way that it's happening, right? Like, it's very sketchy. It's very like secretive. And it's just like, that's not how this works. And when it happens that way, it just everything about it seems weird. And I think a big part of it is like, I think people are trying to protect Zion from all the online bullies, which yeah, that's not going to work.
Are you tired of the fat jokes yet?
I am, and mostly just because if you like see certain pictures, the thing about Zion is he dresses horribly. Like he legit wears like two sweatsuits. Like it's super baggy, it's unflattering. And every now and then you'll catch pictures of him. Like a couple weeks ago, he was like out and about, just like hanging out in town, going shopping, and he ran into some kid wearing Zion shoes. He's like, oh, hey, man, I love your shoes. And so, like, the kid's dad took a picture. He looked freaking good. Like, I mean, he looked really? Like lean. Oh, yeah, man, I'll send you the picture. And it was, like, 2 or 3 days after the Houston game. And the Houston game is the picture that blew up where people photoshopped it to make him look even bigger. And he was, like, walking out, you know, into the tunnel with a big red sweatsuit on. And it's, like, 2 or 3 days later, and he looks great.
Hmm.
And it's just, like... Like, I get it. You know, it's kind of fun to be online and make jokes and clown people. He's also a 20-year-old kid who's getting, like, I don't know. I don't want to be, like, overly sensitive, but he's been going through, like, I mean, just the mental toll that, like, being a number one overall pick and then not getting to play and having to, you know, a 20-year-old kid is very online. Even if he's not liking all the tweets and retweeting, you know that he sees everything. And I feel like the mental toll that that kind of stuff takes, like, I'd eat myself to death, you know? and he can't run. He can't move.
And he had Stan Van Gundy.
He had Stan Van Gundy for a year, which was awful. Don't even get me started on Stan Van Gundy and Eric Bledsoe.
Well, how do you read the situation? Do you truly think that it's Zion's just on the out with David Griffin, or is he just holding out to make sure he is
even if that's
healthy?
True,
he always struck me as a kid that no matter what wanted to play.
Yeah, so like, even if that's
Duke,
true,
like,
if
he blew the shoe out, you know, hurt his knee or whatever, yeah, or whatever it was, he wanted to play. He was super competitive in that run in March Madness. Like, he was not phoning it in because he knew he's the number one pick. He was not phoning it in during that NCAA run. So he strikes me as a kid who wants to play. So
and Griff may have their issues, but yeah, I mean, that's exactly, he, at the end of the day, he wants to play basketball. And I think if anything, I think probably part of the issues is the Pelican staff has been so like reluctant to let him push through stuff. You know, it's like this most recent setback is his foot wasn't healing the way they wanted it to. And it wasn't like he was hurt. He didn't re-injure himself. His foot just wasn't healing fast enough. I guarantee you he wanted to come back anyway. He was like, look, I feel good. I feel fine. Like, my foot's sore. It's not that big a deal. And the Pelican training staff was like, we're going to hold you back because we don't want to risk this stuff. And so if there's any contention, I kind of think that that's where it comes from.
Right.
But I also don't blame the team for being like super cautious with a generational talent whenever we're not having that good of a year to begin with. But I saw this tweet the other day that was really, it made a really good point. People have been hating on how much time Zion has missed. Zion, at this point in his career, has played three times as many games as Joel Embiid did at this point in his career.
That is an interesting stat.
So through three years, Joel Embiid had only played, something like 30 or 40 games. Zion has played up in like the 90s. Yeah, he's had a couple of big injuries. But look at where Embiid is now. And Embiid, people still flinch every time he hits the ground or whatever. But like, he's also a freaking NBA superstar. So I think the Pelicans taking that same 76ers mantra of like, hey, let's be careful. Let's kind of go slow and make sure he's good. He's got plenty of room to grow and be great. And, I think the Pelicans will still sign him to a max after this year if he wants it.
Okay.
Which I think he would be dumb to turn it down based on how many games he's missed.
Right.
But we'll see.
Yeah, that's kind of like not to compare him to MJ, but like that was the same thing MJ kind of had, right? They were not going to let him play because his foot, they didn't know he was playing behind the scenes, and like this could have ended his career. Like nowadays he can't get away with that because somebody will obviously post online that he's been playing pickup at LA Fitness, example, but
oh, I remember when Embiid got caught like playing tennis and stuff.
Yeah, like he was playing soccer with kids, when he was making those trips to Africa or whatever it is for that NBA Cares or whatever his foundation is. I can't remember what it was, but he just can't get away with that stuff. So is it just too abundantly cautious? Maybe, but there's also an argument because you feel like the Pelicans, you're about to commit a lot of money to this guy for a long time. And I feel like after seeing what happened to Michael Porter Jr. for the Nuggets, wouldn't you want to kind of see this guy on the court to see if his foot will hold up before committing, 4 or 5 years, whatever it is, 150, 200 million, whatever his schedule raises, I can't remember. But like, it just makes more sense to me that you want to see it, that he can actually go through it, work through the soreness. Because if he breaks it again, then maybe it's like, okay, maybe we don't do this deal.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how you handle that. There's probably not a right or there's probably a wrong way, but there's probably not a right way to do it. But
one thing that I'll say that hasn't really gotten a ton of national attention, the Pelicans, the same time that David Griffin came in, the same time that they won the lottery and got Zion, a big thing that they did that kind of went under the radar because it's not the type of thing that gets reported, they stole the training staff from the Phoenix Suns. So the same training staff that kept Steve Nash healthy. Yep. And you remember as soon as he went to the Lakers, fell apart. Yep. The same training staff that got Grant Hill back into the best shape he'd been in since like the early 90s in Detroit. Same staff, the same staff that got Shaquille O'Neal playing in that 7 seconds or less offense. That staff is now in New Orleans. And so, yeah, you're like a little hesitant because it's like, hey, but they're not doing much. But I trust that staff to make the right choices based on the really long history of like, look at what we've done with these guys that had, injury concerns and long trails of like past injuries and things like that. So I think all of that kind of coming together, I trust that staff,
So yeah, that's a good point. But let's get on to my second wish list here. I referenced this earlier about the Utah Jazz, and either way, I want this to be it for the Utah Jazz quote unquote run. Same kind of reasoning for the Celtics. And I hate to be kind of basically the same wish, but this is it. Like either the Jazz have to break through the second round and make the conference finals or the finals, or this needs to be broken up. Because this is what, year 4 or 5 of this? And it's the same thing every year. And what was it, a couple of years ago, they went out and got Bogdanovich, Ingles started to show through, 2 years ago, they get Mike Conley from the Grizzlies. And it's the same thing, flame out in the first or second round. And last year was no excuse at all, playing the Clippers and losing in 6 or whatever it was. to them without Kawhi. So to me, it's a make or break year for the Utah Jazz, and I think it should be. And if they fail again to break through the second round, I think this should be done. Now, I don't know if that's moving, if that's per se. Like, I've kind of had in my mind that Donovan Mitchell after this year, if it happens again, will want out. Or he will want to move Rudy or other guys out. And so that's what my kind of wish is that either way, I don't have to worry about this team anymore, of buying into this team, because I've been duped the past 3 years. Oh, maybe this is it. This is the time. They've got the right matchup. Donovan Mitchell looks good. And I know he had ankle issues last playoffs, but it's the same thing every year. And I want to believe they'll make the finals and think they could, but I know they're probably going to lose in the first or second round. So to me, either way, whatever you got to do, I think you have to shake up the Jazz. And so that's my wish. I want them to shake it up if it fails again, or if they make the finals, then great. Then it would have been worth it. So what do you kind of feel about that on the Jazz end?
I agree. Yeah, I would say anything short of making the finals is a blow it up. Because the West this year is as wide open as it's been. We just spent a lot of time talking about how bad the Lakers are. You know, your only two teams at the top are the Suns and the Warriors. And you know, anyone else, you know, I feel like they're kind of like in tier one. And the rest of the West, legit from the 3 seed down to the 9 seed, is like almost interchangeable because of all the injuries. You know, like I think like the Nuggets are a great team, but they don't have Porter Jr. or Murray.
They're a great player.
Yeah,
they're a great player.
But they're a super player, right? Like the Bucks are. Yes. You could have said for years and years the Bucks were a great player with like some good surrounding pieces.
Right.
And then they won the title. And so you can say like, okay, I'll give a little more respect to Drew. I'll give a little more respect to Chris. So like the Nuggets are like that, but yeah. So I would say the Jazz, like if they don't make it into the finals, if they don't make it to the conference finals, blow it the hell up. Right? Yeah. Don't make it's one gone. Change wholesale.
It needs to be gone. Yeah.
If they don't make it, you know, if they make it to the conference finals and struggle against, you know, say the Warriors, who are just a bad matchup for somebody like Rudy Gobert, you can at least kind of consider trying to make marginal changes, you know. But yeah, I think.
But how many years of Rudy being a bad matchup against somebody do you have to do this?
Yeah, well, but if they make it one round further, I can like at least I can understand the argument for continuing to try.
Hmm.
If they don't make it out of the semifinals, blow it up.
Yeah.
So try to get as much as you can while the value is still high. Because I think that'll be the same thing, right? Rudy Gobert will get to that point and teams will go from, oh, we're playing the Jazz in the second night of a back-to-back to, oh, we've got 7 games to make Rudy Gobert look stupid. Like, I mean, that happens every single year you're laughing, but like, that's the number one thing that happens with the Jazz is Rudy Gobert goes from the defensive player of the year to completely lost because teams start to exploit his weaknesses as opposed to like, oh, you know, we can't really put in a whole new set of plays for this one game. But as soon as you go to a 7-game series, he becomes exploitable. And I think that's going to continue to happen. I also just don't personally like him. I never liked him to begin with. But then that time that he made that stupid joke where he touched all the microphones.
Yeah.
And that was like literally the thing that started the COVID experience in the NBA. Where people are calling him patient zero.
It's just unfortunate for him because it's going to happen regardless. But he just had the unfortunate timing with him doing where he's making
the most childish version of it.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think they should blow it up.
Yeah, I think they should blow it up. Like to me, someone that would be interesting for them if they were to swap out Rudy is someone that can actually shoot and still protect the rim, and that's Miles Turner. Now, the contracts don't match up or anything like that, but just having the threat of someone who is pick and pop versus Rudy Gobert, who's all dive or, you know, stand in a dunker spot. Yeah, I get Rudy Gobert is basically a walking defensive, you know, by himself. But as long as you have that rim protection from Miles, I think that makes more sense, especially if you can get the shooting. But yeah, I think it's time to blow it up regardless. If you were Donovan Mitchell, would you want to leave the Jazz situation, or would you rather have Rudy gone, or what would you want him to do? Fire the coach, get rid of Quinn Snyder. What would you do if you were Donovan Mitchell?
It's an interesting question, because on one hand, you would think like, oh yeah, lean on the team to like get rid of Gobert, who he famously like didn't get along with well a couple years ago. And then on the other hand, like, who wants to live in Utah?
With Dwayne Wade? You don't want to live with Dwayne? You think Dwayne moved in?
I guarantee you Dwayne Wade doesn't live in Utah. Dwayne Wade swings by from time to time.
Yeah, he's full Miami or LA. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. So it's interesting from Donovan's standpoint. Like, on one hand, the city loves you, even though you're black, and Utah typically doesn't like those kind of guys. Mm. On the other hand, I don't. It's Utah, right? Like, and I don't know any of the details of like his contract situation or whatever. I feel like he probably didn't have to spend much more time there. You know, regardless, but he may have recently signed an extension. I have no idea. But I definitely think if they don't do well this year, he'll lean on them for change one way or the other.
Yeah. I'm just
either interested. Move me or move Rudy.
That's what I'm interested in, is how drastic the change will be. If he'll literally, or if he will be, get me out. I'm forcing a demand. Or if it's like, look, change the coach, change the players, whatever you got to do. I'll stick around. But that's what I'm curious of. So what's your next wish list? What's your wish list item?
So I thought about this. I don't want to make everything Pelicans related. So what I went with was what I really want to see. And I guess technically it's still somewhat Pelicans related. I want to see Lonzo versus LaMelo in the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I don't care where. I'd like it to be kind of high stakes, even though I know that's going to make LaVar Ball miserable. But I think that'd be super fun. I love watching LaMelo play to begin with. So, like, I want the Hornets to make the playoffs to begin with. So that was kind of already where I started from, was like, I want the Hornets to do well. And then I just thought about the story aspect of, like, the Hornets versus the Bulls. I think that would be a lot of fun. I would really like to see those two teams play each other with the highest stakes on the line.
Yeah, that's awesome, because it could happen. Right now, the Bulls are second, and the Charlotte Hornets are ninth. So, play-in scenario, that would be a great first-round matchup, and probably much needed for the Bulls, because I kind of think the Bulls are a little fraudy. I don't know how you feel about the Bulls. We haven't talked about this, at least on recorded audio, but they feel kind of a little bit like frauds, even though they're, you know, fun and have beaten teams like the Warriors to start. But that would be a great first round matchup. I like that one a lot, which leads me to my last wish list item. And it's just about the Christmas Day games in general. And my wish is that they're not a complete bust.
I was expecting you to say that they happen at all.
And that too. I thought about saying that, but I didn't want to put that out there for the reverse jinx to where it is just completely gone from Sunday. Cause I don't know what I would do, really, because that's just my Christmas Day routine. But Hawks, Knicks, I mean, Trae Young's already entered health and safety protocols. Knicks have a lot of guys. Celtics, Bucks, Warriors, Suns is the matchup I think everybody's interested by most, even though most people would probably watch Nets, Lakers the most. But KD's in health and safety protocols. What's going on with Harden? Kyrie on a part-time rental, but he's already in health and safety protocols less than 24 hours later after saying he's coming back. And then the dog game of the day is really the Mavericks Jazz to me. And so I'm really hoping that's not the best game, or at least the fullest roster, I should say, because I really don't want to be robbed of Hawks, Knicks, Warriors, Suns, and Nets, Lakers. So yeah. I'm fingers crossed. I know the league's been trying to do some stuff with doing replacement players, but it's just.
There's no value in that.
It's just not going to be the same, and I'm hoping it can be salvaged so that guys can test negative, you know, and get back if they're asymptomatic and stuff like that. So
yeah,
we'll kind of see, but I'm just praying that December 25th is not a bust. basketball wise.
I don't have high hopes for it right now. And maybe something will change, but I think that just the way that everything is trending, I don't think this is the time for it, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
What's your last one?
I thought long and hard about this. And The most important thing to me was that I aggravate all of your listeners. So my last wish is that the Pelicans can play the Grizzlies as many times as possible. Because if there's one way for the Pelicans to get a win, it's to play the Memphis Grizzlies.
Hey, things looking up for the Pelicans. Where are they at? 10 or 11 wins now?
I think 10. I think they're legit like 4 wins behind the 7 seed or something. Like, as bad as things have been. And over the last 10 games, or even I think over the last some number, they're over 500. So they started terribly. But again, there hasn't been any Zion. And this team was like extremely specifically built to surround Zion. Like, think about the Orlando Magic team that was built to surround Dwight Howard that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they surrounded him with Hedi Turkoglu, Rashad Lewis. Like, it was a very specific design. Imagine if Dwight wasn't there. They're no longer an Eastern Conference Finals team.
Yeah.
They're a lottery team. And that's sort of what's happened with the Pelicans, except the Pelicans' second best player is Brandon Ingram, and he's having a career year. And I say that as someone who knows that he's already been to the All-Star game. Brandon Ingram is having an amazing season. And so I think there's been some growing pains, you know, first-year head coach. One of the most impactful players is a second-round draft pick from this season. So there's just been a lot of, like, growing pains that are kind of lined up. So I'll tease when I say that they wouldn't play the Grizzlies. But at the same time, John Morant is, like, one for eight against the Pelicans. I don't think him and Zion have ever played each other. Like, they never sync up.
It's truthful.
But,
it's very truthful.
Yeah, I thought you'd appreciate that.
Yeah, that's a good one, because I will never forgive y'all for taking my favorite draft prospect at the original pick that we could have had at 16.
And they haven't done much with him, man.
He still has not been unleashed.
He's been a little spooked. They've been trying to get him some reps in the G League and stuff, just to get him more in rhythm. And he's had some like good runs, but I don't know. I think sometimes the moment gets to him.
Yeah, you guys are 3 games out of the final play-in spot right now. The Kings and Portland, the Kings and Blazers are tied at 13 and 18 right now, and you guys are 10 and 21.
So, and we could have beat the Sixers today just because Sixers were missing so many people. And that's one of the things about the Pelicans' schedule is, for the second or third year in a row, it's been very front-loaded because the NBA's, let's get Zion in all these games. And then Zion's not there. And so the Pelicans, as of like a week or two ago, had the hardest schedule in the league to date, but had the easiest schedule remaining. And so I feel kind of good about them going forward because, you know, I mean, we haven't played
any COVID of the bottom factor players. Coming up could be even.
I feel good about the team still. There's gotta be some stuff to go their way, but they have had everything stacked against them from the beginning. And so I think they've still, I mean, there was the year we made the playoffs and lost to the Warriors in an epic first round series. We barely beat out the Thunder, and we were like 4 or 5 games behind the Thunder with like 3 weeks left. And then they just won out. So like being 3 games out of the play-in.
Yeah.
2/3 of the season ago, like that's nothing.
Yeah. And you would have played the Grizzlies, and we know how that would have
worked. Yeah. We still get to play them 3 more times. So that's at least we're going to almost double up our wins right there.
Yeah, and I mean, it is an interesting, the COVID situation is an interesting thing we should factor in. I mean, the Grizzlies are the 4 seed right now in the West at 19 and 12. I certainly, being a Grizzlies fan, do not believe that's legitimate. I mean, they're 8-2 in their last 10, and I would say 4 or 5 or 6 of those have been against teams that have been decimated by injuries or players in COVID protocol or health and safety protocols, to be exact. So I'm interested about those teams, if it's going to kind of regress a little bit when teams are back healthy, making the push, you know, January on. But it is very fortunate for the Grizzlies now, even without Ja, to build that kind of cushion. You can kind of not coast, but it will kind of help if you do have a slide for sure. And the Pelicans are just going to be fighting an uphill battle, but like you said, an easier schedule. And if half of these teams that are right above you have a couple of key guys and health and safety protocols, you could easily sneak in there. So yeah. Hate to end on a positive Pelicans note from where they've been all season, but I guess that's where we're going to stand. Now, I did want to do one more final Danny one. He had three, but I'm going to just do this one just to be relatively quick. But he wants Damian Lillard to either get help, which I think we've been saying that since Damian Lillard got there, or this is where I really want it to be, Damian Lillard to get out of Portland. So if you were Dame, would you prefer to get out or, like you're saying, getting help? Do whatever you can to get me help. Because it seems like he signed off on Chauncey Billups as head coach. He believes in him. Like Nurkic, to me, I've watched the few games I've watched of them, Nurkic looks like a dinosaur. I mean, he truly looks like it's over. Yeah. He does not look good at all. So would you stay, keep gutting it out with the team you've been with, you know, and retire with the same team, which is a rare feat now, or would you get out?
There's no way he retires a Blazer.
No way.
I couldn't see it because they're not going to win. I think the team has proven repeatedly they don't evaluate the marginal talent very well. You know, like they upgraded the roster by adding Larry Nance, and I love Larry Nance, but if you're leaning on him as like your third best player, like,
yeah,
it's not going to get it, guys.
Everybody loved Larry Nance after last season for the signing, and then the Cavs drafted, you know, Evan Mobley, and look at that team now.
Yeah.
Without Larry Nance, and he's not really helping the Blazers that much. So,
yeah. And I mean, like, I like him. Like, he gives you some positive things, but he's not going to, he can't be crucial. He needs to be, you know, complimentary.
Yeah.
And I think they hired him as like a crucial piece, like, oh, he can facilitate our offense on the elbows or whatever. So I think what I expect to happen is Dame just start privately pushing, get me out of here. But I think publicly he'll always kind of maintain that, like, oh, I love Portland, I want to stay here, blah blah blah. And I think worst case scenario, I don't think he signs an extension unless something better happens around him, and when his current contract runs out, I could see him jumping ship.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the worst thing that happened for Dame and his career with Portland was them actually somehow making the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds backwards, but it feels like
it gave the team hope.
It gave the team hope that if we just put these little things around, look, we're a Western Conference Finals team, we can make that run again. When all actuality, they just weren't that good. And they caught, you know, a young Denver team that made the second round. Yeah. And it took 7 games anyways. I don't remember who their first round opponent was, but might have been the Grizzlies for all I remember. I can't remember.
Was it maybe a Clippers team?
Maybe it was the Clippers. That might have
Clippers team that had some injuries or something.
Yeah. So it was like, that's kind of an interesting what if scenario is, what if they lose? Does Dame, like, they don't make the Western Conference Finals and get, you know, swept or murdered by the
Dame Warriors. Is old.
Would he have been out of that situation at 27 or 28? Versus holding on for the last couple of years thinking, oh, we just needed this and this guy and that guy and we're good, when it's not the case at all. It's just the team in general. So that's an interesting thought process or thought exercise maybe of what could have happened, where he could be now and how he affects that, you know. But Mike, you got anything else before we go for this holiday wish list? Any surprise things or anything you need to plug personally?
Definitely nothing personally. I just haven't been able to write. You know, I enjoyed writing articles and stuff, but
yeah.
So no, I think the biggest thing I'm hoping for from this point on is just that, you know, the COVID spikes start going down and that the season isn't too heavily impacted by this, because it's been a fun season, you know, and I hate for the storyline to continue to be this pandemic. I understand, you know, the safety and we don't want people spreading things. And you think about a guy like Karl Anthony Towns, who's just tragedy, you know?
Right.
So, you know, you don't want to minimize it, but at the same time, you hope it gets better fast and just that we can kind of move past it in the more immediate future.
Yeah. Well said. I didn't want to, because I felt like we could have probably spent the whole podcast talking about all that stuff. It really is the worst. I really don't want it to ruin and pause another season, so we have another bubble situation. That's what I don't want. And I don't want a truncated season like we had last year where teams were playing 4 games in 6 days, that kind of thing.
Shoot, no.
So I'm really hoping we don't have that, even though it's kind of trending that way. But we'll kind of see what this replacement player situation, if that alleviates things at all. So we'll see. But thanks for filling in for this week, man. Yeah. That was Mikey Shooms. Give us the exit music.
Mikey Shooms, Mikey Shooms. Everybody, here comes Mikey Shooms. Always a classic.
Always a classic. Thanks for joining us. So that will wrap up our holiday Christmas wish list episode. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be back. Hope everybody enjoys their Christmas holiday or whatever you celebrate. Enjoy it. Everybody get some relaxation. Mike, you got to work tomorrow? You off the whole week? What's the deal?
I got to work this week. I have the week between Christmas and New Year's off.
So. Okay. Gotcha.
I do miss teaching for the holidays.
You're off for the next month.
Yeah.
So thanks for tuning in, everyone. Follow us on the Lead Podcast Network. Daniel and Cody will probably be back. Mike with the fill-in. We'll see you guys next Monday.